consider this a privilege, and I don't feel like I'm a preacher, so you can exercise your grace with me. I thought Craig did a great job. Can you hear me okay? I thought Craig did a great job. And you know what he was saying about having his family over, because there's seven of them. It's not a problem. I invited him over, and I'm just me. And we had a great time. I made some Mexican food, and it was wonderful. They're a great family to invite over, by the way. And I thoroughly enjoyed their company. So on Monday night, Ray asked me if I would take Sunday night service. And he said, yeah, I got to leave tomorrow morning. I'm going to Malaysia with meet my family. And I'm like, he's not asking me. He's like, Mark, you got to do this for me. I'm like, well, okay. So he gave me some ideas. He said, well, you could, you know, share your favorite verses, you know, things that, you know, over the years that the Lord has taught you, and you could go over those verses. That'd be great. Or you could throw some testimony in. So, you know, how did you get saved? Some people may not know. You have a very interesting testimony. And he said, I also, you know, have great conversations with you. You seem to meditate on scripture, and you have a lot of interesting questions. So I'm sure you'll be fine. So I took his advice, and I started, and I said, no. This is not working. I said, I need to go before the Lord and ask him, Lord, what do people Sunday night, what do they need to hear? What do you want for them to hear? So I spent more time praying probably than I did preparing. I was on vacation for 2 days. And so anyway, I'm here, and I have a message. And some of you came in knowing that you have no idea what Fred said. It's a surprise. So I was very impressed with Juanes when he gave his message. And you know, he started out by saying, you know, we remember the Lord Jesus every Sunday at the Lord's Supper. And you know, the Lord said, do this in remembrance of me. He took the bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, you know, take, eat. This is my body, and then which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup, saying, this is my cup of the New Testament. And you know, we hear that every Sunday, and we never get tired of it. It's always good. Like Craig said today, and I've said this myself, I have never gone to a meeting where I said, oh, I wish I would have stayed home, or, oh, you know, what a waste of time. I may say that tonight. I may say, man, I wish I would have cared. But I know you guys, I love you guys, and I know who you are, and I know that you're loving people, and you're going to show grace. So so anyway, enough of that. Oh yeah, and then he spoke on remember Lot's wife. Do you remember that? He said, so remember the Lord, you know, and then remember Lot's wife. Don't do what she did. Don't go back. Don't even think about going back, you know. So the text I chose that the Lord gave me says the same thing. It's talking about not going back, but to remember. So enough with the suspense. Okay, it's Hebrews 13. And I know we've gone over Hebrews so many times. We've gone over this verse so many times, but here it is. This is what the Lord's given me. So it's Hebrews 13:7. It's another remember. It's remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, consider the outcome of their conduct. In other words, who are those who speak the word to you? Well, who rule over you? Those are our elders, right? And I know this is out of context. This is the Hebrews, and we don't know the author of it. And, you know, there's all that. And I'm making an application here. Okay. So the application is that we should remember our elders. So here we have the Lord's Supper, and the Lord's given us these elements. We have the bread, and we have the wine representing his body, representing his blood. And we remember him in that way, as he asked us to do. And I've always wanted to say this to people, but I think that we do that until he comes. We are proclaiming his death, scripture says, until he comes. And isn't it really, in all reality, isn't it the gospel? The gospel is all there. It's, we have the death, burial, and resurrection. We're waiting for our Lord to return. And you know, Maranatha, let him come soon. And I think he is. So we are, you know, when we do that on Sunday, we are proclaiming the gospel. If someone is sitting among us, they're seeing the gospel in action. And so let us remember. And this is great, because we're not remembering the Lord's death way in the past. We're not remembering Lot's wife way in the past. By the way, there is an element there as well. And I got to see it. I got to go to Israel one time, and there is a pillar of salt there. And I believe that's Lot's wife. So there is a testimony there that, you know, to God warned them, and she's a pillar of salt. So I have to, thank you for doing the opening prayer, because you saved me from doing it, because I was going to go on my knee and ask the Lord's blessing. And there was a reason for that. Because I used to clean the chapel, and I had a key. We had a key. We didn't have a code back then. I had a key. So I would come into the chapel sometime. I'd browse the library, and, you know, just walk around and love this place. And anyway, I accidentally opened the door one time, and the elders were in there, and it made a huge impression on me. I cracked the door, and I was listening in. I was watching. They didn't know. They were praying for us. And I was like, that made a huge impression on me. Here these grown men are on their knees before God praying for us. And I'm like, you know, here we have a living testimony. We can watch these men. It tells us to, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. I mean, he's given us these men so that we can observe their lives, so that we can emulate them, we can follow them. You know, if they're walking with the Lord, you know, I mean, there are churches that there has been some, you know, leaders who have fallen, but thank God we have wonderful elders, and we can remember them, and we can watch them, and we can emulate their lives. Why? Whose faith follow. It's the same faith. We have the same faith. The faith in who? In the Lord Jesus Christ. They're following the Lord Jesus Christ, just like we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and they're held to a higher accountability. And so they're taking their responsibilities with gravity. You know, they know that they're held to a high standard. So we should also look at that for our own lives. And so who their faith is in Jesus Christ. And I love this, because it seems so out of place. It seems like, why is that there? Why is it said that way? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's like who dropped that in there? It almost doesn't make sense. But it does make sense. If you take the whole context, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's about the Lord Jesus Christ yesterday, and it's about Jesus today, and it's about Jesus tomorrow, because Jesus is our life. Jesus is everything. And I remember when I used to teach Sunday school here, so now I can go into a little history of me, that I would have a lesson. And sometimes I wouldn't be prepared. And I would tell my wife, like, honey, I didn't prepare. And I would spend the next 2 hours, instead of preparing for my lesson, I would pray. I would just pray for those kids, pray for the lesson, pray to get God, just have mercy on me. God, just show your grace and mercy. I didn't prepare, but it's not their fault, you know, and let everything go well. Those were the best Sundays lessons I ever gave, because I gave it to the Lord, just like this message. I don't know what to say, but the Lord does. He knows what you need to hear. Maybe there's someone here. This is speaking to you. I don't know, because I know we've gone over this. But for each person who may go over the very same lesson, the very same scripture, it will come out differently, because each one saying it is a separate individual that God has changed. And so they look at scripture through the lens of their own eyes and their own soul that God has gave them. So, so the Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that's a sermon in itself. You could go on and on. Who are they trying to serve? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who are they trying to, who do you call on? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who I can look back in my whole history, just from here, just all the opportunities. This is why, I want to say this, that before our 100th anniversary, I think it was Fred, but I'm not sure, he asked the question, I think it was, we might have had handouts, who was the most influential person in your Christian walk? Who has been the most influential person in your Christian walk? And I immediately, right off the top of my head, I just talked to him today. I gave his name. I asked his permission if I could give it. He said, yeah. It was Steve Meng. I don't know if any of you know him. He brought me to the chapel. And I thought, yeah, he made the greatest influence on my life. And after I thought about it, I have to repent on that. I have to correct that. It's not true. And I told that to Steve, and he laughed. He said, yeah, it's not true. And he even rebuked me after I told him that, I don't know, years ago or last year. He said, no, I wasn't. All I did was bring you to the chapel. And so I had to rethink that question. Who has been the most influential in my life? And I have to say, it's the elders, for sure. They have given me opportunities. I love talking with them, because I could talk to someone else, and we may talk about fishing, or we may talk about hunting, or we might talk about motorcycles, but I can talk to an elder and I can go right to the heart of the matter. And I could say, hey, I'm reading this in scripture. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I've done that. And, you know, makes no sense to me. And I just don't get it. My brain is thick. It's not coming through. And I've learned more. I've learned everything that it takes to be a good Christian. I've learned how to love. I've learned how to not be selfish. I've learned how to give. I've learned how to depend on the Holy Spirit to do things. Some of the opportunities I've had was always encouraged by the elders. Kids club. Used to do kids club, remember? I've done Sunday school. I mean, I never did anything for a great length of time, but God gave me opportunity. And I learned from each one of those things. So I can encourage any young people here. You know, if you have any desire. I remember the day that Jim was up here and said, you know, we don't have anyone playing the organ. Is there anyone interested? It was about 4 months that went by since Marion was playing and she passed away. And I said, yeah, I'd like to do that. And there's other times that the Holy Spirit, there's been a question And the Holy Spirit was like working in my heart. And yeah, I want to do that, you know? And I think it's part of my upbringing maybe as well, is I've never been a leader per se. I've always been told what to do. So when there's volunteers, I usually don't volunteer because I've always been told what to do. So when Ray kind of said that, you know, I felt like I was being told, and I'm like, yes, Lord, here's your servant, whatever you want, I'll do it. I'm not a preacher, but Lord, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. Now, normally this past week, I would have been doing boys camp. So I've been doing boys camp, and thank the leaders of the church again for camp. It's a big thing around here. Camp is huge. A lot of people, like Craig said this morning, a lot of us have been involved in camp. And a lot of young people, that's how they get saved. They get saved at camp. You know, they hear the gospel day in and day out. They see it. They see it happening. They see the interaction with the leaders and the counselors. And they say, yeah, you know, I'm a sinner. I've even had people, I used to do the testimonies. We'd have the last day before the second last day, we'd have campfires, and we would do testimonies. And I would start out, I would have one of the campfires, it'd maybe be two or three of them, depending on how many kids. And so I would give my testimony. Well, I think most of you know my testimony, maybe you don't, but I had he's married now, has kids, and he said, Mark, I got saved after your testimony. I was like, you know, because you just don't know. You don't know. I would never have known that. You know, the things we're going to find out in eternity, you know, the Lord's, or we're going to have people come up and say, hey, you know, you might have shared something or done a thing of kindness for somebody. And people are watching. Trust me, they're watching. I met a one of my old math teachers. I went to you know where I went. Should I say it? I don't know. You know where I went to school. We graduated from the same high school. And I met my old math teacher. And I told him I got born again. I got saved. And that, oh, okay, he was listening. Well, where are you attending church? And I told him, oh, this little chapel, Wauwatosa Bible Chapel. And the look on his face was like, oh, any place but there. That's what he said. Any place but there. I'm like, I was shocked. I was like, I thought, you know, didn't understand that at all. But so we have a reputation. Some like it, some don't. But our testimony is out there. And you know, wherever we work, wherever we live, we should be a testimony to God. And where I used to work, I worked with I've always worked with metal, sheet metal, and some things here. You can see some of my handiwork here, the kitchen stainless kitchen table, and maybe some of the shelves in the men's room. I don't know. I think the ladies' room's been remodeled. But I knew another brother in the Lord there. And I said, hey, how would you feel about getting together in the morning and praying? We'll pray for the people we work with, and we'll pray for the company. And then if anybody wants to join us, or if anybody has any prayers, they're going to know. Oh, boy, did we get some persecution. People, you can't do that. I'm like, this is America. We have freedom of religion. We can pray, and we're doing it before hours. It's not like we can't do it in the company. But I'm like, yeah, we can. And eventually the management found out about it, and they were happy. I said, yeah, we're praying for this company every day. We're praying that this company will be successful, that the people here could earn a good living. And we want this place to prosper. And we're praying for people's souls if we have an opportunity to give. But we got persecution. But the Lord protected us. And every one of those people who persecuted us were removed eventually. So God is so good. I don't know where I am. So anyway, I love the fact that we have elders who don't change. You know, I remember a sermon that John gave one time, and he says, in Christianity, there's always a bandwagon coming. There's always a train coming. And he said, don't get on that train. Yeah, thank you, John. And, you know, there's so many things I learned from the elders. There's so many great sermons, and it's just affected my life, you know, in so many ways. And just the opportunities to serve here are tremendous. So I love it. So, so back to the text. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So anyway, my favorite verse, because he said I could, is Hebrews 13, verse 5. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That I kind of took as my life verse. And the reason is because I was happily married with my family and kids. And I thought, man, I just hope this never changes. Well, it all did. You know, my wife, you all know her. She eventually got sick with cancer and she died. And then my kids, you know, they got married and moved away, and my son eventually moved away. And I said to the Lord, I said, oh, my worst fear has come upon me. And you know what? He delivered me from that as well. But I kept that verse. I still like the verse because there's so much more to it. You know, we have the greatest, we have Jesus Christ. We have the greatest gift of all. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Don't desire the world. Don't desire other things. Don't desire to be like somebody else. Be content with the things you have. You are who God made you. Be happy with that. You don't need anything else. When you have Jesus, you have it all. That's a good slogan. Somebody should advertise that. When you have Jesus, you need nothing. You don't need anything else. He's all you need. And I'm just so happy. I was going to my second sermon. So I had three sermons. This is the third one. I was going to say why I love Jesus. I was going to do the whole sermon on why I love Jesus and list all the things that Jesus has done for me. You know, he saved me from my sins. He saved me from judgment. He's given me eternal life. He's given me a family. You know, I'm like, you know, afraid of being alone. I'm never alone. Look at you. You know, Juana said that too. So I think Juanis has, he came from a broken home. I came from a broken home. Like John, I had an alcoholic father. I didn't have a good start in life. But, you know, sometimes you come to the end of your rope. My father-in-law, he didn't come to know the Lord until later in life. And we brought him to this chapel here. And Fritz, bring him. And so we had a little Bible study going on, and he came to know and trust Jesus as his savior later in life. My father was an alcoholic. He was dying of cancer, and I sent him a Bible, and I put a bunch of gospel passages for him to look up, and I saw him for the last time, and it was a cloudy day, and we got together and we talked about the Lord, what he read, and if he understood it. And I believe that I'm going to see my father And I prayed with him, and he just shook his head and agreed. He never would have come to the Lord if it wasn't for his cancer. So sometimes we think, oh, that's a bad thing, or yeah, that's a tragedy. I had a friend who we had breakfast together the other day, and he was complaining that his transmission went out. And I said, you know, it may be a good thing. I said, you and I are having breakfast together. Maybe you're going to say something to me, give me an idea of what I'm going to preach on. And maybe somebody's going to get a blessing out of that. And isn't it worth it? So the few shekels you got to pay for get your transmission fixed, but maybe God had it for a reason. We don't know when bad things happen. We think they're bad, but maybe they're not. No. So, anyway, yeah, he died on the cross for my sins, suffered on the cross for me, gave me the gift of eternal life, adopted me into his royal family, gave me a peace that passes all understanding. I was a restless young man before I got saved. I think I still have a little bit of that in me. I still like to travel, but I was so disillusioned with life at one point. I was at the end of my rope. I literally took off. I stuck my thumb out, and I prayed. I said, God, if you're real, you have to show me, because things aren't working out too good for me. And time after time, people would come and pick me up. I'd have my thumb out. This woman, this is the best one. This is a young woman with children. And the Lord said, I want you to pick this man up. She said, it was almost audible. I could hear him say it. And I'm, oh, no, Lord, I would never do that. I have kids in the car. She said, it was so strong. I picked you up because the Lord told me to. I'm like, okay, I'm listening, Lord. I had a couple other instances like that as well, where people would pick me up, and each one of those people were giving me the gospel, you know. And even as a child, I heard the gospel, which can make you wise until salvation. So this was just when I finally accepted the Lord and trusted Christ as my Savior, knowing I was a sinner, knowing I was lost, knowing I needed salvation. Maybe that's somebody here. Maybe you didn't have a good childhood, or maybe you have a lot of questions, or maybe just things aren't right. And you know, you can trust the Lord. You could trust God, because he said, whoever comes to him in no wise, he'll cast you out. And my favorite verses, I'm going to share them because they're all in one place. My favorite verse. Well, my favorite one is my life verse, which I shared with you. But the other ones are all in 2 Timothy. And the reason I like them is because they're so plain. I love straightforward, plain scripture. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Was Jesus a great moral teacher? No. It says right here, he says he came into the world to save sinners. I like that. How about chapter 2, verse 3? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Who does God want to be saved? Just a few people? The elect? No. He says he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What's the truth? The truth is you're a sinner, doomed to hell. That's the truth. Unless you trust Christ, that he paid for your sin on the cross, that's the truth. And there is only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. I mean, those are my favorite verses because they're as clear as a bell. So anyway, so I would say that I'm going to just wrap it up because I don't want to belabor this anymore. God gave us elders. They're a gift. We can watch them. They're on display, and we're watching you. But we might have questions, and we know that you'll help us when we need it. The elders were there every time I needed help, and plenty of times I needed help, and prayed over my sick wife. Literally, I mean that was quite. I was very moved by that. And they were always there whenever I had a question, whenever I wasn't feeling right, whenever I had a financial need, and there was plenty of that, always there. So I just thank God for the blessings of having our elders, and they watch over us, and they make sure that we have this treasure right here. They make sure that we follow the doctrines that are written in here, and not some strange doctrine like that said, you know, we don't jump on the bandwagon. We hear the same thing over and over. Thank God. Tell me the old story. That's the one I want to hear. I want to hear of Jesus and his love, that he died on the cross for me. I want to hear that over and over. I want to hear it right here on this pulpit. I want to hear that. And I want to know, you know, that people can hear it. I need to hear it. Like Bob said this morning, you know, if we're not here, we feel there's something missing. Yeah, well, and there is, because we forget easily. We forget who we were, who we are, and who we're going to be with forever. We tend to forget, and we let life get in our way instead of remembering. So let us remember. Let's remember our Lord Jesus, who died on a cross for us and rose again, gave us eternal life. Let us remember Lot's wife. We're not going back. We're not going back to our old life. Where are we going to go? There's nowhere to go, you know? And then let's remember our elders. And they're right here. And there's one thing I gotta say about the assemblies in general, is that I think we always live in the present and in the future. And I don't think we remember the past. We don't have any, we have directories if you save them, but we don't know our past. I loved our 100th anniversary. I thought that was wonderful. I wish we could do that every year. I wish we could set aside a day. I actually went to a church. I was down south in the country, way in the country in Tennessee, way back in the hills. And I stopped into this church, and they were having a Memorial Sunday. And they had a big potluck, the buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken. They had all the ladies brought their whatever they make. Man, it was wonderful. Listen to them, and they talked about the people who were in their cemetery. They talked about the legacy that they left. And I think we did it once. I wouldn't mind seeing it again. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that you've allowed us to listen to your word and to remember our Savior, remember the Lord Jesus, and to remember those who give us your word. And just, we just thank you for your word and all the instructions in it. And we thank you for this fellowship. Thank you for protecting us, for keeping us sound, and thank you for the elders. And thank you for all the opportunities you give us to grow and to learn more about you
and to love you even more. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.